It's so jarring. I'll take this down. Okay. Sometimes I feel like I arrive in the shrine running. And I'm sure some of you guys sometimes feel like that, maybe not now, but then settle down, bring the body to stillness, and you're in the lap of presence, and that lap is nice and soft, and you can sort of bloom, just land in the lap of presence. No need for preparation. Settle into of course I'm going to say her embrace. With everything that you bring. And you know, you can really let yourself feel that it's almost like a bodily experience, like literally you're landing in this luscious lap. So it's an embodied experience. You can smell the fragrance, and it's a nice fragrance. It's safe, it's familiar. And so your body immediately feels at home. And therefore can begin to feel itself. Or to offer itself to this presence. And your mind as well, your thinking, can offer itself to this welcoming in the sense that it can let go. It doesn't have to micromanage every line of thought. And if there are feelings and emotions, they also sense the unconditional allowing. That is the nature of this embracing presence. Takes everything in her fold, no matter what that is, and lets it be. And so to begin with, you feel yourself to be the child who comes to that lap. No need to feel that you are pure awareness, that you're whatever non-dual, lofty agenda. No need for that. To begin with, you're just a child coming to this great loving, invisible mother. To be enfolded . You offer her every in-breath, every out-breath. You offer her the sound of this voice. You offer her the discomfort in the body. It's not even that you offer her. You just bring it to her. To take, to look after. Every little sensation. Nothing is excluded, everything included. So whatever would tend to be excluded, the resistance, the thing that I don't want, I don't like, I want to change. That's precisely what is included in this moment. At some point, you can begin to be open to the possibility that this loving embrace is your deepest nature. It's what gives rise to every experience. It's what gave rise to each one of us as humans, as body minds. So we never leave it. How could you leave that which gives rise to you, that out of which you are made? If you think about it, we were each made out of the lovemaking of our parents, even if that lovemaking was complicated. That sexual impulse, act, pure creation, is that which made us. And it's that which takes everything back into itself. And it's our essential reality. And we can always go back at least to that thought, to that understanding, to begin with as a thought, as an image. And maybe also as a feeling like the one I was evoking earlier of the lap and the fragrance. Sometimes we go back there with a prayer or a call. Sometimes we go back there following the thread of a longing. A cry for help. But whatever it is that is the pathway back is in fact her drawing us back, so we can trust it wholly. We are always being called back. And then let's just feel our bodies, because our bodies are instruments for all of this, for the call back, for celebration of this reality. And sometimes our bodies are the place to go to when they're suffering, to begin the journey home. So feel your body just this moment. And hear the sounds. My computer today is making a sound, which I notice I resist, but I can't do anything about it, so I welcome it. That's meaning I welcome the resistance to it. I don't have to welcome it, it is. But I can spare myself the extra contraction, which is the resistance to it, by noticing, by taking my stand in and as the unconditional openness. And so this is the attitude with the body. Feel your body. In the sense of I don't live in the body, but the body lives in me, and there's infinite space. Hello, body. You are welcome with everything that you bring this moment. And then we, you know, you just take a little walk around to the different territories of your body. There's so many different territories, like sensing the touch of the air on your skin, or the touch of your clothes. Or sensing the place where the body and the earth meets, and tasting the texture there, the quality of surrender of the weight of your hips and your pelvis and your legs and your feet. And there's no judgment, it's just a little tasting walk. It's like a wine tasting. Here it's a body tasting. Except that with the wine tasting, we compare and we evaluate, but here we just taste out of the joy of tasting. tasting the sensation that we call the arms. First the left arm from the shoulder, or even deeper from the scapula, deep inside the torso, behind, tracing the territory called my left arm all the way down through the shoulder, through the upper arm and the elbow, down the forearm, the wrist, and here we are in the territory called hand, left hand, tingling of the palm, for no reason, so there's no attempt at changing anything. It's hello, left arm. Letting the left arm come to life and do what it wants to do. Maybe it wants to readjust its position. Maybe the weight wants to drop. And I bet that the palm of your left hand would like to radiate, would like to feel its power. And now off we go to the right arm from the place inside the back, through the shoulder, down the upper arm, the elbow, the forearm, the wrist, and here we are in the right hand. Hello. Feel that you're the openness, so you're not really scrutinizing the arm or the hand, but you're just saying, oh, look at you, you're vibrating, tactile, aliveness, and you are surrounded with my presence, which is boundless. And off you go to, let's go to the head. Feel your head, make sure your head is sitting on the spine the way it would like to. Sometimes there's a little readjusting. And don't impose it, ask your head. There's lots going on in the head, isn't there? Behind the eyes. In the mouth, the jaw. Very intense. There's so much activity with the head because it's where all our senses seem to, and are in a way, located. Don't have a visual for your face, for your head, just the raw, direct cacophony of sensations. Let it be louder and louder, instead of trying to harmonize it. Let it be a chaos of sensations, like an orchestra before it starts to play, each instrument tuning, and it's a real cacophony, and you celebrate it because you're the openness. Allowing each sensation to resound like a vibration. And then where shall we go next? See where you're drawn to. Wherever you're drawn to is calling you because it probably doesn't have enough space, enough permission, enough connection with the lap, with the embrace. So wherever you find your attention going, it's a wide open, welcoming, friendly. And then you go and you wait a bit, you let that particular area or sensation unfold. Unfold as a raw tactile rather than as a thought or an image. Let your attention move around like a busy mother tending to her multitude of children. She's busy, but she's not stressed. And then feel this body, how it would like to move. Mine would, and I'm sure yours would like to move as well. Let the body move. Just sitting as you are. So the spine, the breath, make sure the breath is almost like the impulse for the movement. The breath, but also invisible currents around the body that begin to take the body. So there's a sense of being in a sort of warm substance that is languidly taking the body, and the body begins to feel more like a plant, a sort of aquatic plant in the water. Let your arms be taken off your lap by warm currents of water, one arm then the other. See what happens. The eyes are closed, you're not comparing, it's not about that, it's just a raw flowing sensation. Shoulders may be rising, rolling, breath, let the body begin to reclaim its wilderness and its intelligence. The body knows exactly how to move. Let it do what it knows to do moment by moment. Your head, don't forget your head. If head is on movement leave, it's not the headquarters for the thinker. It's just part of the whole body. You know, it's morning time for most of us. Well, for one of us, it's middle of the night, but bodies like to stretch and they like to unfold and contract. They like to tune in to rhythms. And you're just gently letting a listening for that begin. And now we're letting the body come back to stillness. Let it come back without you doing it. The arms, the spine, the head, the whole body aligning with the space all around in stillness. Letting the weight of the pelvis and the legs drop, surrender into the soft earth. She's not hard. She's like a cushion. Allowing the borders of the skin to remain porous. So even though the body's coming back to stillness, it's not shutting you into a body that is separate from the outside, rather it is fuzzing the borders. I don't need borders right now. There's kindness, there's friendliness, there's the intuition of borderlessness. Let your arms very slowly float up into the space in front. Feel that there's a cushion of air carrying them up to the horizontal. Resting your arms on the horizontal plane. Long fingers. And now carving the space right and left, the arms open. Don't do it, let it flow. Resting your arms, your shoulders. Welcome any tension and discomfort. Offer it to the openness. The palms facing the space in front. And then slowly gather your palms very, very slowly towards one another. In fact, don't do it. Let the palms move towards each other at the level of the heart. Slowly, slowly, slowly. Pause before the palms reach one another. Feel a ball of energy. Ball of energy between the palms. You can massage it, press into it, and then let it push the palms away from one another. And then very slowly letting the palms meet. And the back of the thumbs drawing towards the torso. Pray your position, pray your mudra. Drop the elbows, drop the chin. Breath is free. I don't live in the body. The body lives in me, expresses me. And now slowly the chin comes back up and the hands melt back down. Let them go, let them go, let them go, let them go. Where do they go? Let them go. Let them go even when they reach your lap. Let them go. Let the weight go, let the weight go. Notice how you hold something always as myself, the body. Be willing to let it go. Let it go. We are holding beliefs at the level of the mind, and we are holding beliefs at the level of the body. For example, the weight is like a belief that I am solid. So letting go of the weight, letting go. I am weightless. So if you're sitting cross-legged on the floor, extending your right leg in front of you and opening it a little bit. Your right leg is open and a little bit to the right, and your left leg is still folded. If you were sitting cross-legged with your left foot against your thigh, if you're sitting on a chair and you cannot sit on the floor, just adapt what we're going to do next. So you no need to change anything up until now, but just adapt what I'm going to guide us to do next. But one thing you can do if you're sitting in a chair is move a bit forward so that you're not leaning against the back of the chair, but your torso is supporting itself. And if you can, you just push the top of the head a little bit towards the ceiling, so that you feel the spine elongating, at the same time dropping the pelvis, and then don't push the head, just let the spine, the torso be free-floating. Now bring your arms to cross over your chest so that your fingertips are touching your elbows. Your arms are crossed. in a very gentle way. And turning the torso towards the right side slowly. Stopping right before the mover doer comes in, so it's not an effort. You can flex a little bit your right foot if it's extended forward, just a little bit, and then let it go. Now slowly the torso turning towards the left side. Feel the openness rippling with the movement. And now back to the right side. Just adapting what's right for your body. And now the torso moves into the space in front slowly. You're resting it on a cushion of air. The cushion of air is deflating very slowly to cover, so that the torso begins to cover the right leg. And now the deflating of the cushion stops. Just welcome the posture. Empty the posture. And now deflating the cushion a little bit more, and stop. Long inhale, long exhale. Now let your right elbow rest in front of your right knee, and the torso turns to face the center, like a book opening. And your left arm, if it's comfortable, can float up towards the ceiling. Something is lifting the left arm. You don't have to do it. Slowly. Long left arm, long fingers touching the ceiling. Long inhale, long exhale. I know it may be unpleasant. There may be resistance, but this is it. Welcome the resistance. It's just layers. Layers of separation in the body. See if you can empty this posture of whatever is not necessary into the openness all around. Yes, now slowly folding back the left arm towards the torso, and the torso turning back to face the right leg and rest on the cushion of air, the right arm folding back towards the torso. The breath is free and the cushion of air inflates and carries the torso back up. So it's completely effortless. Torso comes back in front. The arms melt back down. You extend the left leg a little bit to the left. If you're sitting on a chair, you don't do anything. And then slowly fold the right leg so that your right foot comes against your left thigh. You can help yourself with your hand. Whatever you do it in a very lazy fashion, very sensual fashion, so that you can taste every moment. And then gently folding your arms across your chest until your fingertips touch the edge of your shoulder, your clavicular area. Drop your elbows. Torso turns towards the left side like a ghost. And then, you know, you're really very interested in this moment where the doer wants to come in and push a little bit more, stretch a little bit more. There's no doer here. There's just this openness and this unfolding of sensation. And now the other side with the torso slowly. Leave the openness, caressed by this ripple. Make sure you purify the posture by taking your stand as the openness and allowing whatever is here to unfold. Yes, the torso slowly flows back towards the left side. You can flex your left foot a little bit, feeling the axis of the left leg, and then let it go. Let the pelvis and legs drop, and now the torso resting on the cushion of air. And the cushion of air deflates maybe just a tiny, tiny bit. Tiny bit, and then there's a pause. Don't be in the body, let the body be in you. Yes, yes, it can be in you, and even those layers that you would want to exclude, let them be in you. And because you are this embrace, they can feel loved for once. Maybe the cushion of air wants to deflate a little bit more. And then the pause, and then just welcome. Hello, body. Look, you're surrounded with borderless welcome. And now the torso adventures into the space in front. So the left, not into the space in front, the left elbow slides in front of the left knee. The torso opens to the center and the right arm. But it's not a right arm, it's a ripple of sensation floating all the way up, 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 up. Fingertips, long fingertips. You don't have any vision. You don't know how long your fingertips are. Let them touch the ceiling. Yes, now feel the whole posture as one global sensation. One big cloud that you let radiate in all directions. And then let it fold back down, the right arm coming down, the torso turning back towards the left leg, the arms folding across your chest, and the cushion of air inflating to push the torso up so there's no effort. And the torso back towards the facing center, and the arms melting away. Slowly, slowly. And you can, if you were sitting on the floor, your left leg can fold back if that's comfortable, whatever's comfortable, coming to a still posture. Giving your body permission to recognize all on its own how stillness is best reached. And when I say stillness, I don't mean a horrible, crystallized, fixed, rigid posture. I mean a sort of feeling of the body that it's home. Home being the openness. Home being the place where borders are not necessary, where holding weight is not necessary, where there's just a natural coming and going of the breath. Where I feel myself to be much more than just this knee, the body feeling that I usually take myself to be. So the body feeling can be a wave, and I can be the ocean. Or maybe it's better to say that I can be the body mind, the wave, but my reality is the ocean. So I can relax as a wave, I can relax. I don't have to maintain my reality as a separate wave. My reality is given. Let's do some head and neck circles very slow. So the chin comes down first. And then the head and neck rolling towards the left side. And then towards the back slowly. And now towards the right. At some point, feel that you're not doing it. It's just a ripple that is smooth and effortless appearing in you. Like space moving in space. Make the sensation of this very subtle. I want to say make, of course, I suggest it's a doing, but it's rather a recognizing. It's all so subtle. Made out of nothing, almost. Now the other way. If you encounter a something, see that it's made out of nothing. But you could, if you were to touch the something, there would be nothing. But a nothing that is something. Now let the head come back. Rather a nothing that has a reality. Feel your whole body again and just scan your experience to see how, where you feel yourself to still be located as a neither body. Just very gently and kindly scan your experience to identify the islands of me feelings in the body, in this moment. And then, you know, just explore, just pick one, there might be a few, so pick one. And a me feeling, a me, the body feeling is something, can be very precise, or it can be a little bit diffuse. And it's very familiar and intimate. It's something that really feels like me. My teacher used to say, like a pair of dirty socks that feel so intimate that you don't throw them away, or you don't wash them because they're so me. Well, the me, the body feelings are a bit like that. They're so close. It's so familiar that we don't really, there's not enough distance with them to recognize and explore them. So see what comes. If I say to you, go to pick a me, the body feeling right this moment. If feeling that has a me charge to it, or a sensation that has a me charge. So sometimes it's an emotion, you know, an anxiety or an agitation, a boredom. And sometimes it's just more like a localization, like in the head area, the feeling of being the thinker, the seer. Okay, so I've said enough about them, so just pick one. And then you just go sit by it with your tactile listening. You don't do much. You just go shine a gentle light on it. Let it reveal itself for what it really is. You know, and you can just look for me there and see if you, honestly, if you can find the me that's allegedly hiding there. For example, in the head area, behind the forehead. Feels very me-like, right? It's a very strong sense of being located right there in the forehead. So we go and we gently, kindly, first of all, shine a light to see if there is such a me living there. We look in every corner. And then we can ask ourselves, if this feeling, sensation, localization is me, then what is it that is perceiving that localization? Is that not also me? And clearly, it's not the sensation of the head that is perceiving the sensation of the head. The sensation cannot perceive. So then you can sort of shine a light on that which perceives the localization in the head. As if you were shining a light in pure openness. Then you don't do anything. And after a while, and there are many other ways that you can, you know, you can ask yourself, so which one is the real me? Is it the localization in the head, or is it the me that perceives the localization in the head? And then, of course, the right answer is, I'm not going to say it, but I suspect you know the right answer, but it has to become experiential. And then you can ask, does the real me have a border? Can I find a border, an edge to the real me? And you have to go look. And of course, you may come up with a border, which in fact is another me feeling that claims to be the border. So you have to then conduct another investigation. So you really have to be armed with a few things. One is curiosity, interest, deep interest. Who am I? Two, a bit of patience. Three, sometimes it's nice to go with a group of friends who are doing the same investigation because it gives you courage. It gives you, fortifies you. Three, you need a good torch. Four, you need snacks. Just kidding. You need breaks. You don't want to conduct these investigations for too long. Otherwise, you risk becoming an investigator, a spiritual investigator, which would defeat the purpose. So I think I'm trying to say, I'm not sure what I'm saying, that all of this must be done with the flame, the love of truth in your heart. Otherwise it becomes a sort of spiritual mission. And not good things happen with missions of that nature. So let's come back to our knee localization. Or are we having a snack, a break? Maybe we are doing that. Yeah, I think we are. Let's not go back to the investigation. Just coming back to doing not much. I think we might end here and have a little bit of a chat to see if there are any questions. So just before you open your eyes, just really feel the spirit in which we've gathered and in which we've explored together. In your heart, maybe that translates as gratitude or I don't know, something. And surrendering that feeling to the openness. And then we're going to just take literally two minutes break. I'm just going to turn my camera off to give my computer a rest, see if it stops making that sound. We'll come back in 2 minutes. So go gently. Have a drink or a snack. A 3 a.m. snack. Sorry, I was muted. I didn't realize it. Yes, I was saying that I had the impulse to stop the meditation and come into conversation, and so be it, right? But I hope it's okay with you guys, because you know, as I get to follow my impulses sometimes. Anyway, if anybody wants to explore something that we were exploring experientially, if you want to ask a question or make a comment, or please feel free. And there's no need to, by the way, just feel free not to do anything or say anything. And you can just unmute yourself if you want to speak, because it's such a small group.
Thank you, Ellen, for that. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you for or at least helping me to continuously remembering to come back to the abidance. I do notice that when I am tired, funny enough, I tend to become more constricted, almost like if the body thinks that becoming constricted is going to help more to to perform. And through the meditation, I could tell that there was more the tendency to tighten up. Thank you.
Do you have a question about that, Anna?
Yeah, a feeling,
because I'm feeling there's a feeling there.
Yes, there is actually. It's almost that the harder things get, there is this illusion that I have to try harder, when instead it would be like, okay, now relax. But there is still this tendency of you have to, you must, you know, something like that.
I think when you say there is still this tendency, I think what's happening maybe, Anna, is that you're becoming more aware of this tendency.
Yes.
It's becoming more palpable.
Yes.
And so it's difficult.
Yes.
It's difficult. Because then the mind sort of comes in and says, oh, here we are again, and how am I ever going to conquer this? It's such a deep habit, and
yes,
I'm doing exactly the opposite than what should be happening. In the face of hardship or tiredness, I contract more, when in fact it would be so. It's Ellen's pointing to this lovely lap, the unconditional love, and I'm feeling like more and more contracted. Well, that's I don't want to say that's perfect, because it, of course, it's painful and difficult, but this lap and embrace and unconditional borderless welcoming is not something that we can either manufacture, or it's what we deeply are. It's our reality, but sometimes we are not able to touch it, feel it, know it. So in that moment, it's more like we're like a blind child, or we are the lost child, you know. We are in the place of suffering. And in these explorations, we are inevitably going to come face to face with that.
Yes.
And not just once. Not just once. Because we're going to come face to face with it, but we're going to allow it to come a little bit more up, to reveal the deeper layers, which are usually feelings that we have not been able to allow because they were so painful. So today, Anna, I feel something about the way you speak, that the feeling, the deeper feeling, is a little bit more there, like that you could cry or something like that.
It's almost like sometimes feeling life is tiring, a little something. I mean, I'm not sad or depressed or anything, but something like life is an effort. Life. Yeah.
But I, when you say I'm not depressed, I'm not sad, I'm like, I beg to defer that there are maybe some sadness and rage and lots of things that,
yes,
and that it's exhausting to keep them at bay.
Yes.
That is what's tiring. Life is exhausting when you have to micromanage things. So yeah. I'm just going to encourage you to stick it out, because there's something that attracts you here, that something is attracting you, and at the same time it's confronting you with these very difficult layers of no to life, because life was not safe, because life was not kind or loving.
Yes, it's almost like I will soldier this.
Yes.
I will soldier this. I'm strong.
Yes. Yes.
If I am firm, I'll be okay, and I can do it on my own, like something like that.
Yes. So that soldier, it little by little, or more, or here and there, will melt into something that will look very much like depression or sadness or
yes, Yes.
And that will be correct.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, yeah, we...
Sorry.
No, you go ahead, Anna.
No, it helps a lot when you keep reminding us, welcome it, welcome
yeah,
it.
Yes.
Everything is welcome. And it is true, and I'll finish, that there is a little bit of sadness saying, I can't.
Yes.
I'm tired, something like that. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And that territory might need to be more expressed more and shared more. And here is the perfect place for you to bring it. And
yes,
the soldier can have a leave, you know, the soldier can have a leave, go home to his village and be tired and really be tired.
Yes.
Really, really tired. Not...
Holding everything. Thank you. It's, I feel such a privilege to be here and so grateful. Thank you.
You're welcome, Anna. See you again.
Yes.
Well, if it's all right, I might jump in there if that's
okay.
Of
course, ma'am.
So lots happening. I guess first of all, I really want to thank you for the space, Ellen. I think I'm familiar with I guess my sense that all of this is a work of self-compassion. And as much as I know this, every time I'm here with you and the group, I'm reminded I feel it. So, you know, your emphasis on the gentleness, the kindness, the not trying too hard is just like a breath of fresh air every time I'm here. So thank you very much. I guess I was just suddenly noticing the echoes with what I think it's Anna was sharing of, you know, I have a different body. And often there's the feeling tone of I can't do this. So I physically can't do what you're describing, or I can't connect to the sensation or whatever. So I guess there's always both. And it's just kind of, and so we're back to the welcoming. So though I can't do some of it, or I can't feel my fingertips, I can engage as far and as much as I can and be open to what I can receive, which is, you know, a lot. And there's also the feeling of frustration of, oh, I'm not getting as much as everybody else is whose bodies can do it. And, what am I missing? And so, but somehow it's something about that's okay. It's just there, you know, and I don't have, and not denying it, there is sadness there.
Of course.
Exactly. I'm reminding, every time I hear a but, throw an and mark. So yeah, so I think, you know, I could explore this for hours with you about, you know, where, but yet with my different body and my different sensation, my edges are hardly there. When you say find the edges,
you're ahead of us.
Exactly. So, you know, so what, you know, there's,
well, I hear so many things, Mark, and first of all, I think it's
most of all gratitude. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you for the gratitude, but I also I think in a way it's so nice that you express, you know, the feeling of, you know, you do have a different body, and it must be incredibly frustrating and difficult sometimes. And just that, that's just a fact, and the feeling will come and go. And I think it's perfect group for you to come in and tell us about it, you know, just as a human being to a group of human beings. And
I think the point is we all have different bodies.
Yes, we do. But, you know, in a way, you have a different body that can't do most or some of the things that we all can do. And it's difficult at times. Mm. And we can all understand that. Having said that, in terms of what you're missing, you're not missing anything for sure. But the feeling is there. What am I missing? So that feeling is there, and it's there, and it has, as you say, it's just for the mill, right? Grist for the mill for you, because it's a sense of lack. And since we're exploring whatever feelings come up, you know, to express I am as a separate being, in your case, anything that is constellated around this situation will be a very promising territory for you to explore the sense of lack, the sense of the tendency to compare and evaluate and all this, and the feelings that come up with that, and see that they...
Yeah, and your use of the word compare, and I think that's been very strong for me in the last few months, of how that never does me well.
Yeah, well, it doesn't do any of us well, but we all...
And it seems to be everywhere.
Yeah. Yes. So it's a real habit of mind, you know, of the separate self. But in terms of you missing anything on a tactile level, absolutely not, because we really mostly, even though we're doing physical things, very minimal, it's really the body of sensation, as you know, and I know I've said this to you before. So even if, for example, you can't feel your fingertips, whatever you feel there, or even the nothing that you feel there, you're working with a body of sensations and a body of energy. So there's no way anybody could miss out, you know, even if you were amputated of all your limbs, and there's always going to be, as long as the body's alive, there's going to be a body of energy and sensations. But, you know, so I hear all of it, honestly. I'm just happy you just shared your experience. And
thank you.
Yeah. And maybe there are things you can make up for yourself, little movements that you can do, that when we're doing stuff that you can't do, you can come up with. What can you move? Can you move your arms?
Yeah, so I have biceps,
yeah,
shoulders. So I don't have triceps. So when I'm fighting gravity, you know, but also limited sensation from the chest, you know, upper chest.
Yeah. And then, but you're moving your whole torso.
Yeah, I mean, my balance, you know, my balance isn't great. If I go too far, you know, you might hear a crash.
But... Oh, no. And then your head. And what about your shoulders? Are they mobile?
Yeah, just sort of.
And then your lower body is paralyzed.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But even that's, you know, that's been, you know, part of a, you know, training I've been engaged in over the last few years, about how, you know, that much of my life was spent ignoring the sensations because they were not relevant. But actually, you know, again, I can have a sensation of tingling in my toes. Well, previously in my life, I would say, well, that's nothing, it's not real.
Yeah.
Whereas I've come to understand that that's still information.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure a conversation that could go on a lot longer. So, well, I'll leave it there, leave space for everyone. I mean,
we could explore more with your particular circumstance, but maybe enough for today. But thank you very much for piping up. And I don't know, it's just nice to know in small groups like that, which each one of us has a different circumstance.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Got a heart from Melanie. We have time for one more exchange if you want. Yes.
Hi.
Hi, Claire.
I was wondering, in the last bit where we were exploring this me, so I was in my head behind my eyes, and then I started to have this big pain, like here, as if I had a metal bar going straight into my head. And I was wondering if you had any comments, if it's, is it because I was trying too much, even though I didn't have the feeling I was trying too much? Or is it something else, like what this tension could be?
Je ne sais pas. I really can't, you know, I really can't say what any of the body, when it's given some attention. So it's true that when we focus a bit too intensely on a me localization, it may be the signal that there's a hidden agenda, like I'm gonna, and there can be a response, like a pain or a contraction, an intensifying of a contraction. So maybe it's a sign of that the attention should be relaxed back and really to move back. But it not necessarily, it's for you to really, you have to explore in all directions. So it could be that it was just what was happening, and some a deeper layer of tension and an image. Maybe sometimes images come, a rod, and then the body is very susceptible to image. So then the sensation that fits the image comes, and but there's a symbolic meaning there, a rod, a metallic rod through the, that gives us an image of the level of the grip, you know. And so just, I would say, just explore in all directions. In the end, we're much more interested in our deepest reality, which is the openness, awareness. And if we cultivate awareness of awareness, so really always coming back to that sense of openness, of borderlessness, of no agenda, the whole spectrum of experience will benefit from that. So if we have a moment where we're a bit too, maybe it's time to come to relax back, so to speak, to come back to listening itself, to have a sort of global attention that doesn't focus particularly. So of course, in this case, I was guiding us to attending to these localizations. So it's a balancing act, you know. So it's, you just explore it. Yeah, it's a powerful image, though. You know, sometimes images like that can be drawn, paint it, and see where it takes you. See, yeah. But in the end, our deepest interest, it has to be and is for the sky, not the clouds, or the ocean, not the waves. It doesn't mean we're not interested in the waves and the clouds, but we're interested in them out of our deep, deep, deep interest in is the essential reality. Otherwise, we're perpetuating the separate self. We're perpetuating an experience. We're trying to manipulate an experience. And again, I'm saying this as if all we have to do is switch, but no, we can't. We don't have any choice in whatever is unfolding, but we can explore, we can try to discriminate, we can, you know, we just do our best, which is what you're doing for sure.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone. Have a nice day. Go gently, see you soon. And go back to sleep, Melanie. Yeah, I hope you get some sleep. Bye-bye.
Gaia.
Bye. Bye. Bye, Cindy, Gaia, Carlo, Wolfgang, Hilka.